Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When the sun goes down later this evening, it'll be Christmas Eve. But right now, this morning, we're still celebrating the season of Advent, anticipating the coming of our Lord. Our Advent theme this year is the Incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the original language, the word dwelt means literally to live in a tent. Atop Mount Sinai, God gave Moses instructions to build the tabernacle, a portable, holy tent where God would dwell among his people. Once Moses had completed the construction of the tabernacle, the glory cloud of the Lord overshadowed the tent. It was a visible manifestation of God's glory and presence with his people. Our Old Testament text this morning takes place some 400 years after Moses pitched God's tabernacle tent. Much had changed. God's people had already entered the promised land, and Jerusalem was now their capital. God had taken a lowly shepherd boy by the name of David and made him ruler over all of Israel. And by God's grace, David became a mighty king. The Lord even granted him peace from his surrounding enemies. David was so beloved by other nations surrounding him that King Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent carpenters and masons to Jerusalem to build David a palace out of cedar. As David grew in knowledge, he became aware of the optics of living in such a palace. He was a sinner, and he lived in a beautiful palace while the Almighty God who made him great still lived in a tent. David knew that it should be the other way around, and he wanted to fix it. He called Nathan the prophet and told him of plans that he had to build God a glorious temple. But through Nathan, the Lord said, no, God didn't want a temple, at least not yet. David's son, Solomon, would build God's temple later. The Lord had greater plans for David. But those plans were not what David was to do for God, but what God would do for David and for all mankind. You see, God made David this promise. He said, your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. No, God wasn't talking about David's cedar palace. He wasn't talking about the city or the countryside surrounding where the palace was located. No, these would all pass away. But God's promise was that David's household, his family name, would never end. One of his descendants would eventually sit on God's throne and reign for all eternity. One of David's descendants would be the Messiah. For the time being, God was content to live in the tent. And David would not live to see God's temple built or to see the Lord's glory overshadow the new temple. But while David didn't see these things with his eyes, he had God's word on it. He had God's promise. It would happen. And it did. Nearly 1,000 years after David died, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, a humble, poor girl living near Nazareth. Gabriel came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end. Of all the great and mighty kingdoms and dynasties ever to reign in the history of the world, every one of them has come to an end except for one. The fruit of Mary's womb would be the new Moses. He would be the greater David, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who will rule over God's eternal kingdom, which has no end. But Mary thought that there would be a problem. She said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" Well, Gabriel replied that nothing is impossible with God. Gabriel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." This is the same spirit that hovered over the waters and participated in creation. And it's the same spirit that would descend upon Jesus at his baptism. It's the same spirit that was given to you in your baptism. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, God assumed the human nature in Mary's womb, where he would be clothed in a tent of flesh and bone. Yes, God entered his creation living in a tent. And when you look at it, it was once again a little bit like David's Cedar Palace. Caesar Augustus, while sitting in his luxurious palace in Rome, would decree a census be taken. So the word that was becoming flesh was uprooted and taken to Bethlehem, where Jesus would be born in a stable. Herod the Great gave orders from his palace that all male children in and around Bethlehem, ages 2 and under, be killed. So Joseph and Mary would flee to Egypt with the Christ child. After Herod's death, an angel called the family out of Egypt and back to Israel. But upon hearing that Herod's son, the tyrant Archelaus, was now in the palace, they withdrew to Galilee. The Son of the Most High would be raised in a life of poverty in Nazareth. Caesar, Herod, and Archelaus, they would all ride mighty war horses into the cities. But Jesus would ride a donkey into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Those mighty three would possess their golden thrones and crowns, but Jesus would only have his wooden cross and a crown of thorns. He would die and be buried. The mighty three would die and be buried in royal tombs. Jesus would have his earthly tent torn and destroyed and would be buried in a borrowed tomb. You know, to the casual observer, Jesus appeared ordinary at best compared to those earthly rulers. But when Caesar, Herod, and Archelaus died, they remained dead, but not Jesus. He would be crucified, he would die and be buried, but then he'd descend into hell, where he would proclaim victory over sin, death, and the devil. And 3 days later, he would be raised from the dead. Yes, Jesus died, but today he is risen. And he has ascended into heaven, where he reigns as king, just as God promised David. Jesus reigns forever as King of Kings. He reigns as your King because he died and rose again for you. It's been almost 2,000 years since the birth of Christ. Countless kings have ruled and died. Empires have risen and fallen. Civilizations have emerged and disappeared. But only one, Jesus, remains King of Kings and Lord of Lords for now and for all eternity. And you have God's word on it. The Almighty God, who gave his word to David and to Mary, still gives his word today. Christ the King still gives his royal and binding decrees. In baptism, by his word, the King claimed you as his own, adopting you into his heavenly family. He gave you the Holy Spirit and clothed you in the tent of Christ's righteousness. In the absolution, by his word, the King proclaims your sins forgiven. And in the preaching of his word, he overshadows you with the Holy Spirit, sanctifying you and keeping you in the one true faith. By his word, the King comes to you in humble means, hidden in the tent of bread and wine, giving his true body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins and to strengthen your faith unto life everlasting. And finally, on the last day, the King will come again to judge all mankind. For all who trust and have faith in the King, he will welcome them into his heavenly kingdom. You have his word. You have his promise. In this sinful world, you'll always be tempted to look around for Jesus in the palace, look for Jesus in the glitz and glamour and in the feelings and the excitement. Maybe he's hidden away in palatial auditoriums with eloquent preachers. On the other hand, maybe you'll be tempted to despair because it seems that the world continues to circle around the drain while the Lord has abandoned his creation. But when you are so tempted, remember that Jesus has made you a household of his faith. He has made you part of his household of faith, not a household of sight. Remember the tent, not the palace. Remember the King, born of a virgin, raised in Nazareth, wearing ordinary clothes, doing ordinary chores. Remember the manger, the cross, the crown of thorns. Your King comes humbly. Rejoice greatly. Shout aloud. Behold, your King is coming to you, righteous and having salvation. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.